Welcome, our fellow lovers of love, and thank you for joining us on yet another excursion through the stream of consciousness down the river of tranquility to fill the lake of life with love.
And good evening, our fellow lovers of love. Thank you for joining us on yet this another journey through whatever it is we're doing tonight. We've got Hanukkah. We've got in our normal life, love, relationships, you know, questions we deal with at the end of them from Reddit.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but also, what is Hanukkah? You know, we're going to talk about what Hanukkah is, how you can join in the festivities if you, you know, are of the Jewish descent or not. You know, there's some ways for you if you want to join in. You know, we all just like to join in on a little fun, and people don't mind sharing their culture. So, you know, and at the end of that, end of the half hour, first half hour, we're going to give you some tips on how to have a fun and stress-free holiday season. Well, or less stressful holiday.
Less stressful,
yes. Yeah, holiday seasons are very rarely stress-free, but we can find some ways to do some things that aren't so stressful, right, to reduce the stress. So that's what we've got unplugged for tonight. So what? Where do we want to start, Lubby? We got anything other than Hanukkah and anything we want to talk about this week, or are we just going to jump right into Hanukkah?
We could talk about our week. We are starting to have Christmas stuff going already. It's only the, what is it, the 10th?
Something like that, 9th.
9th?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's only the 9th. Yeah, we had the holiday mingle at work. And that was kind of fun, the ugly Christmas sweater. You guys get to see my Darth Vader sweater here in a couple weeks. So even though it's too cool to be ugly, Darth Vader can never be, you know, even if it's an ugly sweater, Darth Vader can never win an ugly sweater contest because too many people are going to think it's cool.
That's true.
Yeah. So anyway, that was my week, essentially.
We've got a toy giveaway going at church tomorrow. I'm getting all decked up and gonna go have some fun, bring some joy to some children.
And isn't that the real spirit of the year, the time of the year, the thing that we are all kind of...
Hey, man, we're gonna have a hot cocoa bar. We're gonna have pictures with Santa Claus. It's a doings.
It is a doings. And so, speaking of doings, if you want to send us a letter, get your questions asked or comments or have something you want to let us know about, you can send it to love@latenightlove.us and we will get back to you or answer you on the air depending upon what your question, comment is. And as always, you can do us a favor and like, subscribe, share, all that good fun stuff that people ask you to do that we don't like doing. All right. So are we ready to move on tonight?
God, when's the last time we did one of those?
I don't know. We're terrible about that, which is probably a good thing. But I think we do them at the end of the show, quite frankly. I don't think I think much about it, but I think I throw one out there at the end of the show. And I do put scrolls across the bottom of the thing. You know, see? As it says. I know, since you don't since you don't go back and watch it. Even though sometimes I forget. Like, people will comment, and I'll forget that we have the commenting things, and we can actually bring comments up. So, yeah. I have to pay more attention to that. So if you see a red light over there, let me know.
Oh, geez, is that what that means?
Yeah, when there's a red thing over here, like a red one or something.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, so there we go. We've got some stuff that we should have taken care of before the show right there as live. You got to see how the stuff goes on. All right. So what's first, my love?
Well, exactly. We were going to talk about Hanukkah. You know, what is it? And, I mean, we've all heard of Hanukkah here mm-hmm. in America. You know, I mean, it's a holiday that's celebrated across the United States and by all of the Jewish faith. And but we've all heard of the menorah. But how did this start? You know, and one of the things that is clear, they wanted to make clear, is this is not a Jewish Christmas. Okay, this is not a major holiday. And it celebrates, but what it does, it celebrates the rededication of the Second Temple in Jerusalem in 1600s BC, after outlawing the Jewish religion and Jewish practices, then the king decreed that Jews must worship Greek gods in the temple. Eventually, Jewish priest Matthias, his son Judah Maccabee, and their army, creatively called the Maccabees, revolted, ultimately forcing the king out of Judea. Maccabee and his followers reclaimed the temple and rebuilt the altar. And that's what this is celebrates. That's Hanukkah.
So there we go. That's what Hanukkah is. That's where it comes from. And we relate it to as a Jewish Christmas because it's the same time of year. And there are some, there are a handful of similarities, right? You children get a gift. You know, but they're not the same thing. They're kind of traditional gifts. It's not like to go out and, well, some do, but traditionally you don't go out and get Game Boys or PlayStations or things like that. You get traditional religious gifts. So,
okay. Now, what about the menorah? Okay. You may have heard that Hanukkah was referred to as the Festival of the Lights. And I think we all know what a menorah is. It's got the 8 candles on there. And it's long been a symbol in Judaism. When the altar was rebuilt by the Maccabees, part of that included relighting their menorahs. But the soldiers only had enough oil to light the menorah for a single night. However, the story goes that the little bit of oil lasted for 8 full nights. Thus, the miracle of Hanukkah. That's why the celebration lasts 8 nights.
Yeah.
See, this stuff, I didn't know.
Hey, what I didn't know is
there's 62. I didn't know this.
Hey, I didn't know that there's a time-honored tradition of watching the Rugrats Hanukkah. An enjoyable cinematic experience for all ages. The most I know about Hanukkah, I probably learned on Northern Exposure, so I probably shouldn't be giving anybody my views on Hanukkah. So I just don't have a lot of exposure to it. Just not one of those things. So,
okay,
my I find it interesting.
Messing up. Here we go.
Okay, so where are we at?
Okay. Many modern Jewish... What are other some other ways to observe the holiday?
Mm-hmm.
Many Jewish families light the menorah on Hanukkah, 1 candle per night. And like Hebrews read, they're put in from right to left. They play dreidel games and eat certain foods. Can't pronounce it, but it's similar to a jelly donut and latkes, which is fried potato pancakes. Both foods are fried in oil, commemorative of the miracle of the Maccabees' long burning oil. Okay, in dreidel, I think we've all heard of dreidel. Made out of clay.
Yeah, but this will let people know it's a spinning top. It's a four-sided top. And so it's just a, you know, a basic game that you used to play.
Okay.
You know, that's the way you know, it was the toy of a day back in the time, and it became a tradition. Largely because anybody can make it, I suspect. You know, it was an inexpensive toy back in the day when poverty was rampant. And I know we like to think poverty is rampant today, and it is, but abject poverty is actually almost eliminated in the grand scheme of things in the world. So,
okay. And there was a question. Is Hanukkah the most important Jewish holiday? And apparently rabbis will say no. And the high holidays, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, are both.
Yeah, for the more religious.
The, yeah.
Yeah.
They are sacred.
Yeah, it just happens around Christmas, so it gets kind of wrapped up into the holiday season. Mm-hmm. Especially here in America, where we just wrap any excuse to have fun and throw a party, we will take. Even if it's not ours, we'll take it anyway. Throw a party for it. St. Patrick's Day? Sure, why not? Cinco de Mayo? Hey, it's not even a holiday in Mexico, but we'll have one here. It's so, you know, it's what we do. It's what we do. Okay. The calendar changes every year because it's based upon ancient Hebrew as opposed to the Gregorian calendar. And so they have to do this conversion. And so that's why it changes all the time. But it always falls roughly the same period of the year. And the Hanukkah and Hanukkah, the two ways to spell it, are perfectly natural. That's just two ways of spelling it because of translations from Hebrew and Latin and all that nonsense that languages create us. So which translation is correct? Pick your favorite translator. And that's what's correct. All right. So what do we got next?
Okay. So we have some interesting facts about Hanukkah.
Okay.
First one we know, Hanukkah celebrates the Jewish recovery of Jerusalem and the rededication of the Second Temple. Okay, foods are fried in oil. The ninth, the middle candle of the menorah is used to light all the other candles during Hanukkah. Known as, Shamash.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So Shamash.
Or helper candle. This candle can either be wax or oil fueled.
Strictly refers to a Hanukkah menorah, the nine branches. Yeah, so number four. So that's those words get confusing because of translations. The two most popular Hanukkah foods in the Oh Good God. Why you have to pick something with names you know I'm not going to be able to pronounce? Ashkenazi?
That's the jelly donut.
Yeah, that's the jelly donuts thing. All right, so then you get
number... No, in the Ashkenazi communities.
Yeah.
Our latkes, the potato can cakes, and the jelly donuts. We knew that.
Yeah. Okay, so we're at number six. Hebrew calendar is lunisolar. So Hanukkah doesn't fall on the same day every year, which we just...
knew that.
We just talked about the... In 1951, Israeli Prime Minister David Ben-Gurion presented President Harry Truman with the Hanukkah menorah, marking one of the earliest instances of the Hanukkah at the White House.
Okay. The story of Hanukkah is in the Bible. It's in the books of the First and Second Maccabees. And the author describes the rededication of the temple in Jerusalem and the lighting of the menorah.
Yeah, and the term Hanukkah really just means dedication. And so that's kind of where that comes from. So there's some interesting facts. And you had something you wanted to summarize, I think, what it was.
Well, there's something interesting. It's not impossible for Hanukkah and Thanksgiving to overlap.
Are we on the same thing? I don't think we're on the same thing anymore.
Oh, okay.
I have no idea where we're at. So, all right. It's all you.
All right. After lighting the menorah, it's customary to sing, forgive me, Rock of Ages. All right. Cool. Which is about the Maccabees' fight for freedom. The most expensive menorah in the world is valued over $500,000. It's on display in Amsterdam in the Jewish Historical Museum.
Yeah, so it's an ancient thing. It's not gold, some gold thing made out of gold or something. It's just it's old and has value that way. Okay.
Okay, Hanukkah, which symbolizes fighting against darkness, is a more egalitarian holiday because women throughout the centuries have been thought of as keepers of light. The world's largest menorah is at Manhattan's Grand Army Plaza. It's 32 feet tall, 28 feet wide, and weighs 4,000 pounds. They talk about celebrities, but we don't care.
No, we don't. All right. So what's next?
Okay. Just very quickly. Can Christians celebrate Hanukkah? And that's a yes, of course. It's in the Bible. And they talk about it. And it's similar because it's about giving thanks, mm-hmm. family, and faith.
Okay. Just learn something about it. If you're going to celebrate as a Christian or non-Jewish person, find a Jewish friend and ask them, you know, have them guide you through at least your first one. Be my suggestion.
I was invited to a Passover once. It was.
Yeah.
It was an enriching experience, you know, to be part of something that's thousands of years old.
And it's an enriching experience to experience something that is meaningful to other people. You know, even if you don't get a big, deep meaning out of it, you can accept that other people do. And you can, you know, can learn from that. You know, I've gone through and done a lot of these religious experiences over my life, and none of them have spoken to me to the way they do to religious people. But I can see and honor and respect that it does for the people who it does. And it reaches people in various different ways. And so, you know, there's an empathy there, you know, to learn as much as you can. I haven't gotten to do any of the Jewish holidays, so I should probably actually think about that one of these days. And I'm so busy, probably is not a good excuse. Okay.
Interesting. You convert to Judaism.
I don't think it would speak to me in any, I don't have any evidence that it would speak to me in any different way than it would be. Any other thing would be just something to observe, you know, something to learn. So. Something to learn. All right. So anyway, how do we survive this holiday season with Hanukkah and Christmas and Thanksgiving's over, but you got the new year. And I like to think of the transition between, you know, you've got from Thanksgiving to Christmas is the time of thanks. Then you've got from Christmas to New Year is the time of reflection. You got that week of reflection. You don't want to spend too much time there, right? But you should probably spend some time there every year. So you've got a week of reflection before you start off on the journey for the new year, right? If you're going to view it philosophically. So you spend the time of thanks. Now is the time of thanks. And how do you get through that without getting overly stressed? And so that's what we've got for about the next, I don't know, 5, 6, 8 minutes, 10 minutes, something like that. All right. So how do we survive the holidays, my lovey?
Well, my number one tip is utilize online shopping.
Well, or the real quick key is to battle the crowds with grace. If you're going to go shopping, understand that everybody else is in the same position you are and just accept that it's going to be crowded and busy. And, you know, a half hour trip is going to take 45 minutes to an hour. And so just adjust your timing. There's no such thing as a quick trip to the dollar store, you know, unless you get lucky, and just kind of accept it, you know. Changing your expectations of your experience is a good way to, you know, change the stress of that experience. If you're not expecting to be able to go in and out real quick,
that's true.
Then you're not going to be as upset that you're getting in. It's not going to be as stressful because you've gone in expecting it. And then if you happen to get in and out real quick, then you feel good about things because, hey, that was cool. I got in and out rather than. So lower your expectations about it, you know. And understand that lots of people are stressed out and, you know, maybe they're not at their best, even though it's the time of year where they should be. So, and if you're not a fan of shopping in the stores, you know, Amazon exists for a reason. Etsy, if you want to, you know, shop local without having to shop local, there's things like that you can do, you know, mm-hmm. go to the creator itself. So there's ways to deal with it. But my personal suggestion is to just adjust your expectations. You know, at busy times of year, you know, waits happen. rush hour, you have to wait in traffic. Busy times at shopping, you have to wait in lines. It just is, and just accept it. Getting upset about it isn't going to change it. So, anyway, there's mine. Okay. Next one is?
Food.
When the fighting.
So much food.
Yeah. So, lots of food. And, you know, some of us don't like food. And so, it's like there's different ways of this can cause stress. You know, you can overeat, or you can, if people like me, you get. People ask you always to eat, and it's hard to say no all the time. So, but here's my suggestion. Don't worry about it. Eat if you want to eat. Don't eat if you don't.
Well, they suggest, you keep up with your exercise.
Yeah, like that's going to happen. Just don't worry about it. Yeah, you're going to put on 10 pounds during the winter, and you're going to have to work it off in January and February. It's just the way it is. Again, lower your expectations, lower your stress. It is what it is. It's okay. It's okay to put on 10 pounds over the holidays and then have to take it off in January. It's all right. It's not the end of the world. Now, creating that habit that extends past the holidays and into March or something is a different thing. But if you're just eating more during the holidays, just eat more during the holidays. Eat less after. There's my suggestion. Don't let it become a thing. Right? Maybe mind your P's and Q's as you're eating. Don't eat overeat so much. You don't have to have thirds. Those are the kind of things you can make just a little smart choices, but seconds is fine. Save room for that pie by not having, that extra big, huge helping of stuffing. How about that? Just make little choices and then worry about it in January. That's my suggestion. Probably not the world's greatest one, but it'll be less stressful. And that's how we're talking about how to reduce your stress.
Indulge a little.
It's the holidays. Come on now. January is for being miserable. Okay. Don't let Debbie Downers or politics ruin your turkey dinner. Don't talk politics.
You missed one.
No, we did that one.
Oh. Don't let your spending get out of hand.
Okay. Yeah. No one who loves you wants you to go into debt to buy them a trinket. Right. And even your kids. They don't know it yet, but they don't want you to go into debt to either. So, spend within your means. If that means you have to move some means around, that's fine, but don't go into a bunch of credit card debt for Christmas. Just don't. Buy Christmas cards instead and send a picture of your cat. It doesn't have to be. The point of Christmas is to tell people.
Amen. When I was in my first marriage, very young, in my 20s, we bought, you send pictures of the kids, and later on, we did scratchers. Some years were really, were really tough.
Yeah, don't go into debt because then that just makes next year worse. So. That's my suggestion is, people who love you will understand that you don't have money to go throwing around on gifts. So just do what you can. Express your love. Doesn't mean you have to buy them a trinket. But if you only have money for trinkets, let's say you do have some money for trinkets, Christmas ornaments are good Christmas presents, right? Because every year they get to look at it and think of you.
Yes.
So, just make it a, it doesn't have to be expensive, but make it something pretty and unique. Again, there's Etsy, that kind of thing. You don't have to spend a lot of money. Don't go to the dollar store, for the love of God. buy something that has some personal, that has some type of connection. If you like cars, buy them a car ornament, that kind of thing. But, yeah. Okay, what's next?
Don't let the Debbie Downers or politics ruin your turkey dinner. Please, why are we still talking politics at family functions?
Well, yes and no. There's a point to be said that our unwillingness to discuss politics and whatnot at family functions and things have led to our inability to discuss politics in general, because we don't know how. We never learn how. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, don't be the one to do it. Just don't. I don't care if you agree with the whole family or not. Talk about everything but. Because you know what? Politics shouldn't be that big of a deal in your life. And the fact, if it is, then there's something wrong with either in politics or your life. And so you can be the one to change that by just talking about the things that actually matter. Now, there could be a problem. Maybe you have someone in your family who works in politics, and so you can't talk to him about his work or their, you know, what they're doing without discussing politics. But you can depoliticize that conversation. Just talk about the stuff that happens internally. You know, don't discuss the external politics of it. Talk about, you know, the inner workings, how things actually function, not the end result politics. Think about the machine of the politics. You can learn about that kind of thing instead. So, or just don't. That's why we have sports and weather. Sports and weather and grandma. You know, that's what you can talk about.
If people have kids, talk about their kids. People always want to talk about their kids. Man. Grandparents, if they're a grandma, man, forget it.
Yeah.
You're in for pictures and stories, but you know, it's a pleasant way to spend an afternoon.
All right. So the number five is to take care of yourself. You know, the winter months you get sick and whatnot. And so just get lots of rest, take care of yourself, try to de-stress, learn some meditation techniques,
vitamin C.
Yeah. Vitamin D, get out as much sun as you can, right? Because a lot of us during these winter months, we get vitamin D deficiencies because you don't get enough sun. So, you know, get what sun you can, type of thing. So that's it. So just really, our guess is to just try to de-stress yourself as much as possible. You know, change your expectations. The world isn't going to be perfect in any time, so it's sure not going to be perfect during the holidays. And so just accept the imperfections, accept that things are going to take a little longer, accept that the store is going to be a little crowded, you know, you save your grumbling for how much things cost. And that's a stress we can all share. That's a shared experience. It's community building.
There you go.
I am so full of crap. So anyway, all right. So we're going to move on to something that I'm not full of crap on. And that's relationship questions. We're diving into the wonders of Reddit. All right. And speaking of, if you want to send us some stuff, so a letter, you can send it to love@latenightlove.us. And we will answer you on the air or not, depending upon what your needs are. Okay. What do we got, love?
Well, I love this first one.
Okay.
My 20 male girlfriend, 20 female, won't stop speaking her made-up language. How can I stop this? Okay. Her and her neighborhood crew, when they were little kids, had a club, and they had a made-up language.
Okay.
And she still speaks it.
Okay. But does she expect someone else to understand it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's the problem. But I don't know. Is it really something you want to die on? Is it really a hill you want to die on? And if, you know, is that one of those things that's a relationship ender? Because in a sense, if you force her to change it, you're forcing her to change something that's fundamental to her, or otherwise she still wouldn't be doing it. There's still some connection. Maybe she needs therapy, but that's not, maybe not, you know, maybe she's hasn't quite grown up yet. And she needs some therapy to kind of get off the hurdle, or maybe she's just having fun. You know, it's part of her. She doesn't want it. She's not quite ready to give up yet because it provides some kind of benefit to her, an emotional benefit. I don't know. I'd ask her to not have any serious conversations in it. But if she's just kind of randomly talking, you know, in personal, private, quiet time, maybe you learn some of it, you know, and then maybe you guys can have your own personal language for when, like, you're at a party and you want to get the hell out of there because this is boring you to death. You have some way to say it with no one else knowing. So there are some advantages to it. Get me out of here. You know, I have to sing Mary Had a Little Lamb to tell you it's time to get out. Get out
of
here.
Oh, man, I know that's it. You better, it's time for me to go. If I have something in my basket, I go pay for it right now. No more shopping. It's time to leave.
So there are some things to, you know, but you can't make her do anything. But you can tell her it bothers you and see what the response is. What's your real frustration? But I would actually figure out what your real frustration is first. Is your frustration because it's childish and she should be older and she should be, you know, behave older? That's something different than, I have no clue what you're trying to tell me. Would you tell me in some English? Like, you're trying to have a serious conversation. I have no clue. So there's two ways to look at this. All right. I'm just saying, there's two ways. All right. So I don't know. There's no good answer to that one, but you're just going to have to deal with it as, you know, empathetically as, but openly as possible. You know, figure out exactly why it bothers you and then tell her. And then my suggestion is find some compromise. Learn a little of her language so you guys can use it. It's part of her. Don't expect her to change completely, but you can't expect her to modify it. You know, look, we're making dinner. Can you speak in English, please? I'll learn some of your language so we're out there and we can, you know. Yeah. Anyway, all right, time to move on.
I like that. That's some good. I'm glad I had some background on that one. I'm glad I remembered that. It makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. My husband, 38 male, is resentful of my career, 36 female. How do we move forward?
Is he resentful of your career or is he resentful of the lack of time that your career is providing him? He wants more time with you and you don't have it because you're spending 60, 70 hours on a career. I mean, if you flip the genders, it ends up being the same. They're not jealous of their career. They lack the time. It's you want the time. They're jealous that the career is getting time when it's what they want. And they're not. So let's be clear. He's not jealous of your career. He's jealous of the time your career is taking away from him. The explanation is you're doing this now, so later in your 50s, that gets to be reversed. You'll have earned the time to spend later. It's an investment for future. But understand what it really is. They're not resentful of your career.
You don't think maybe he's jealous she makes her money? It's a threat to his manhood or some such nonsense?
No. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility, but 9 out of 10 times, it's he loves his wife, he wants to spend time with her, and she's always at work. And because we're men and we don't understand our emotions or don't express them the way women understand us, it gets thrown out sideways. He's jealous of the time he's not getting.
Okay.
So it's not the career specifically, it's the time. And, you know, and that explanation is, you know, it's an investment in time for the future. You know, or maybe you can find some ways to find some compromise, work from home a little more often, whatever it is. Yeah. The same thing you would ask a career-driven man to do when his wife is feeling neglected. It's the same. He's telling you he's feeling neglected. What, right or wrongly, he's feeling neglected. So what do? You give them some time. You find out a way. Make a compromise. Just because it's the man who's feeling resentful doesn't make the solution any different. The solution's the same.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. My 26 female, estranged sister, 23 female, wants to talk to me months after almost ruining my wedding day. How should I respond?
Well, she's your sister, so you talk to her. But, you know, almost ruining your wedding day is different than ruining your wedding day. So, you know, it doesn't mean you accept what she has to say, but she's your sister. And unless she's really burnt some bridges, and I don't know. What the heck, you know, did she steal the silverware the night morning before or something? I don't know. You know, or did she show up with a get overly drunk at the reception? You know, who knows? But I would talk to her sister if she wants to talk to me. Where you have to go with that conversation is up to you, you know. But I would have the conversation. Phone call doesn't hurt. You can always hang up.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't mean you have to go meet her at Starbucks. You can have just a phone call. Start there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real simple. Keep it short.
Because in your mid-20s, yeah, and that's my suggestion. Have the phone call because you can always just hang up.
Okay.
Okay.
I, 29 female, caught my husband, 33 male, affair with a married woman, 29 female. Should I tell him that I know all about it?
Well, yeah. How you do that is the open question.
Maybe counseling would be a good place to do that.
I'm not even sure. Well, that's the thing, because this is a strange question way to phrase the question. It's like, is she in denial? Is she accepting some responsibility for this type of behavior? You know, maybe there is some, you know, maybe she's a bit of a shrew, you know, maybe not. Maybe he's a complete, I don't know. It's not a normally way a woman would phrase a question, right? Is that how you would phrase a question?
I wouldn't ask.
That's my point.
I'd tell them as I was locking out the door.
Well, see, that's my point. So there's, so I don't know. Is she economically afraid to leave children or whatnot? That's an awfully restrained response. So for her, I'd actually go talk to a counselor and then deal with it.
Yes.
Yeah. Not marriage counseling, just her own counselor. I think. And then you deal with it. But yes, you're going to have to deal with it one way or another. I mean, hey, the history is full of women who ignored these kind of things. And for whatever reason. So it's not like
it doesn't turn out well.
It's not like it hasn't been done. Well, sometimes it depends what you define well. You know, if what you want is a stable life and you accept that that's part of, you know, a stable life. Now, I wouldn't agree with it. I agree with you. I wouldn't want to do that. But if what you really want is a roof over your head and nice house and things, and you accept that that kind of thing is part of the, we've seen it. Hillary Clinton did it with Bill. She accepted that type of behavior because she got more out of it than that. It's not uncommon. Right? And that's the most famous case of it. Bill Hillary Clinton. So, I'm just saying, should you tell him? Yes, you will have to at some point. But my guess is get your head right before you do, because that doesn't seem like her head's in the right spot to deal with it.
Yeah.
So, now we shorten that one to that. Yeah. Get your head right before you do. But yes, you will have to deal with it. Okay. What's next?
Okay, this, we're moving on to parenting.
Okay.
Does anyone else feel like no one gives a crap about moms?
I don't know what they're talking about.
Well, she feels like her life is constantly doing for her children, for her spouse, and that no one takes time to take care of her.
Well, but is that true? her spouse likely goes to work every day to make sure they have enough money to pay all the bills. So she has the resources she needs to take care of the children. And these, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe she's the one who's not being, her eyes aren't open to how she's being supported. I can get how you can feel that way, right? In the dog days of parenthood, you know?
Yeah, she's like a weekend off is really what she wants.
Well, but it's not just a weekend off. But the thing is, you have to accept what people are giving you in order to see that people are giving you things. She may not be inappreciative, because all we see out in the world is people, you know, caring about moms, right? The whole world is full of women with children get all kinds of programs and money and stuff thrown at them. Most of it's completely ineffective, I'll grant you, but they get it still thrown at them, right? No more resources are thrown at women with children. So moms are completely taken care of. Now they're mostly ineffective because, you know, bureaucrats are running these things. You have any idea to ruin a good idea is put it in control of bureaucrats. But so mothers are cared about. But the thing is, it's a lonely task often, right? You're at home caring for young children. It's a never-ending grind. And, you know, and you lose sight of the fact that other people are on their own never-ending grind supporting you. And, you know, both perspectives are correct. Right? It feels that way. It does. You know, I was a single parent for a while, and it feels that way. But you have to step back and see what people are doing to support you, because you actually are well supported. It just doesn't feel like it because the daily grind is a grind. It just is. So again, I'm going to go back to maybe it's change your perspective on these. You want to solve this problem, it's changing your perspective. And about seeing what people are doing to support you instead of what you feel. Because there's difference. There's an emotional support you feel like you need at the moment, and there's the actual support you're getting. There's two things. So look at the support you are getting and not what you feel you need. My guess. Okay, what's next?
She needs a nap time.
This is a universal thing. That every stay-at-home parent or parent, every single parent on the planet has felt this way. This is not... There's
okay.
Unless you've got a team of nannies, every single parent has felt this way. This is a universal feeling. It is just part of the human experience. It just is. It doesn't matter how well you're supported you are or not. There is going to be times where you feel that way. And it's just the nature of the beast. There's nothing you can do about it except go through it. That's all there is. That's it. It sucks, but the other side is beautiful, so you'll find your way through it.
Yeah, we all do. The kids grow up.
The kids grow up and it becomes war stories and a beautiful thing that you wouldn't have changed for the world. So
exactly.
So you know, you'll get through it. You'll be all right.
Gets better.
Well, no, it gets harder, but you'll be all right. You get better at it. So it's okay. Yeah. All right. So what's next?
Anyone else's kid ask questions they already know the answer to?
Well, maybe they don't know.
No, he's 9.
Yeah, he doesn't exactly know. He might be pretty sure, but he doesn't know. And so he wants to know. There's a difference between thinking and knowing. You know, and it depends on the type of question. And just because you've told him the answer before doesn't mean he remembers it. You know, that's the other thing. I know he knows the answer. He knew it yesterday. Doesn't mean he knows it today. It just doesn't, right? It's not how memory works. And so you know, it's just not. So it is what it is. Yes, kids ask a lot of questions, and yes, it can be annoying, but you know what's more annoying? Them not asking questions.
Uh-huh.
So be happy he's asking questions. There's my suggestion. Change your perspective. Okay, what's next?
Adding a second child with a big age gap. Yeah, her idea of the age gap is 5 years.
Oh, please. That's nothing. And? There's nothing. Add a second child, whatever your age gap is, if you feel the need for, want, desire.
Her
need.
Child is 5, and she's feeling the baby burn again.
And by the time you have that baby, the baby would be 6, 6 and a half, 7 years old. But it doesn't matter if it's going to be 15, 20 years difference. As long as y'all are prepared or not, and half the times babies with that kind of age gap come by accident. But but no, it's just, there's nothing wrong with this. Just raise your children as you raise your children. You'll be fine. People overthink these things. Is it just me or is people overthinking these things?
A little bit.
Yeah.
But hey, at least they're thinking about it.
There you go. There you go. I suppose it's better than not thinking about it, I guess. But except this one, don't think about it. It's an age gap. Don't, the age gap of all the things to think about, the potential age gap is not one of them. So how's that? Yeah. For my, any, for me, it's okay. In 15 years, am I going to want to be raising a teenager? That's my question to ask. You know, if you're 35 and you add 15 years to that, you're 50. At 50, do you want to have a 15-year-old? That's my question. See? But that's a question for each individual person. For me, any time after, for me, it's 30. You know, you get to have kids after 30. No, thank you. I don't want to, but. Get them done when they're young. But other people are completely opposite. And guess what? Neither of those question answers is correct or wrong. So they're not.
No, it's a personal choice.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's next?
How do you get to know your kids' school friends, parents?
If you're lucky, you don't. Oh, did I say that out loud? Was that out loud?
Yes, you did.
Is that out loud? I didn't mean to say that out loud. I don't know. You have a party and invite your friends, have a birthday party and invite your friends and their families over. Start small. My guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Birthday party, Christmas party.
Yeah.
Whatever holiday's coming up, invite everybody.
Yeah, have a pre-homecoming game get together, you know? All the families can get together, and one of you can drive them to the homecoming game or something, you know?
Ooh.
Yeah, and something like that. Whatever. Have a family day at the mini putt type thing.
Mini putt golf.
Yeah. Go to mini putt. Mini putt's always good because it's easy for enough for pretty much anybody. It's competitive without being competitive. It's relatively inaccessible while being accessible. No, inexpensive, sorry, while being accessible. I was thinking ahead. Yeah. It's relatively inexpensive while being relatively accessible.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Or, you know, have a pizza party and everybody likes pizza. Okay, what's next?
Okay, we have work questions.
Okay.
Is it just me or our clients' customers getting more rude and more stupid every day? No.
It's just you, actually.
Sorry.
Yeah, no. Clients and customers are, well, there may be a sense that they're getting more rude. Or the rude are just sticking out more. Because that's always the one thing, is you notice the rude and the dumb when you don't notice the routine.
I worked in retail. I still remember a few, and that was like 20 years ago.
So but there's a sense that there may be some more rudeness to customers today, but it's hard to quantify. It may just be that the rudeness is more striking today. It's more over the top than it used to be, and not necessarily more. But then again, of course, we live in California where people will walk into a drugstore and just walk out with a bag full of stuff. So, you know, I don't know. There's some sense to it. So now, is it just you? There is some sense that the civility is declining. Basic civility is declining. So, and I guess retail workers would be the ones to notice that first. Yeah. Everybody has to go grocery shopping, right? From the nicest person to the worstest person, you got to go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What's next?
Okay. I have another just me question.
Okay.
Is it just me or are company Christmas parties getting worse every year? He means they used to have like a sit down full course dinner. Uh-huh. Then they moved to buffet. Now it's just the hors d'oeuvres.
Well, you wanted more money in your paycheck. You got it. So guess where that money came from? What do you want? You want cash or benefits? Look, the reality is that those kind of parties, the Christmas parties, created no real benefit. A handful of times, they're more higher risk than reward. They just are, right? You get people who drink in, creates liabilities. So you're just better off buying people pizza a couple of times a year and giving them a 50-cent raise. So that's what they've done. And now all that has gone away because of inflation. So both of those are kind of completely worthless now. But that's what happened. They're not getting worse. They're just, they never did what we thought they did. With the exception of a handful of, you know, tight-knit, highly culturized companies. Those kind of things can be useful. But for a general company who doesn't have a strong company culture, you know, or the company culture is, shall we say, more routine. It's not unique. Those kind of things don't do any good. You know, most people who go don't really want to be there. They're there because it's good for their career. So what kind of party is that anyway? So anyway, just be good when those things go away completely and all of us will be happy. Just give me the extra $100. All right, what's next?
Has anyone ever quit a job because of the hours? He has a perfect job, but it's day and he's a night owl and it's killing him.
Yeah, lots of people do. You know, usually it works the other way around. People who have a good night job, but they can't, you know, the night job kills them. So they have to leave for something during the day. But yeah, people who have a job that works opposite of their natural schedule.
By the way, he's a janitor.
Yeah. Janitor during the day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least you're a janitor and you can try finding a night janitorial job should be fairly easy.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's just try finding a different one. Find a different shift.
And what he really loves about it is he's left alone. So if he works at night.
Yeah, you're left even more alone. Yeah, but some buildings, like the city janitors in our building, they work during the day. They don't work at night. So, yeah. But anyway, find one at night in terms. But yes, that is actually quite common. If the hours don't suit your own schedule, or maybe they don't fit your personal schedule, kids in school and whatnot. So, yeah, that happens as well. Okay, what's next?
Okay, how do I ask my employee to stop making farting noises at work? When he's bored, he does it.
I don't know. I mean, I suppose if he's in like a communal area, it'd be annoying.
He's retail.
And
he's out with customers doing this.
But if he only does it when he's bored, then my guess is he's not doing it around customers. My guess is he's probably slightly autistic and he's just making sounds to keep his brain in track. Give him a fidget spinner. That's what I would do, actually. Give him something else to fidget. It's a fidget thing. So give him something to fidget on.
Good idea.
Yeah, that's a fidgeting behavior. So I would deal with the behavior. Ask him, you know, say, hey, look, I understand maybe you've got this fidgeting thing going on. I understand it, but can you, the farting noise is distracting to your coworkers and our customers. So How about a fidget spinner or something? You know, can we try something else to you know, a different solution? So, see how that goes. That would be my guess.
Okay.
All right.
All right. We're finishing up with sex questions.
Okay.
Okay. Having sex in my girlfriend's parents' house. See, the holidays are coming. Uh-huh. And a lot of boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, traveling to their different parents' house in shared room.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, usually it's the woman who's not, who's, I know, I don't want to, man, no. Why can't you wait?
Well, because they're young. And young people have hormones. But I don't know. It's not like it hasn't been done. It'd be, you know, perfect. A, it's perfectly normal. B, it's one of those things that the girlfriend, I would let the girlfriend make the, she's okay with it. Then generally speaking, most guys would be fine. But I don't know. Sex only works if both people want to be engaged in it. So if either one of them is, you know, apprehensive, it's not going to be fun anyway. So leave it alone.
But you can't make any noise.
Well, it depends where you are in the house. You in a basement, you know, apartment, or you in the room next to your parent, to her parents. You know, there's a difference. But I'm just saying. But the practical answer is, if one person's not into it, it's not going to be fun anyway. So that is your actual solution. So there you go. There's your solution. Okay.
Okay. This is a burning question. Why are so many guys into anal?
Okay. It's because it's the taboo thing. It's what you don't get, you want.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's not that difficult. Well, that, and then it's the, you know, the guy thing, it's a hole. You want to stick things into it. But if you don't get, if you can't have something, you'd have a tendency to want it. It's human nature.
Okay.
And it does feel different. So.
All right.
So you get the two combinations together, and we're humans. Unique and feels different. Hey, there you go. Supply and demand, man. I don't know what you want from me. Okay.
All right. How do I tell the guy I'm seeing I have a yeast infection? Okay, there's nothing wrong with yeast infections. They happen all the time.
Hey, John, I have a yeast infection. Here's my pills. And sometimes the doctor thinks you need to take some. Or they used to. When I was younger, they had the guy take one too. I think they stopped that at some point. Maybe they didn't know.
Well, she can't have sex for a while, so she has to tell him. She doesn't know how to tell him.
You say, I have a yeast infection. He, if especially if they're young, isn't going to know what the hell that means. So you're going to have to tell him.
It's not like it's an STD.
Yeah, no. It's just, but he's still not going to know what the hell it means.
It's bacteria.
He's still not going to know what the hell that means.
That's a chemical imbalance.
Yeah, but you understand that he's going to think he played some part of it, which he probably did, but not in any meaningful, you know, deliberate way. It's the natural course of human things. But you're still going to have to tell him because he doesn't know what that means. He's not going to know what the hell a yeast infection is. What, bread? Well, kind of. She could make some yogurt, but that's not the same thing women
can. Hey, one college student did that.
Yeah, I know. And it's goes intriguing and gross at the same time. That you can do that. You can make yogurt. But anyway, just tell them, just like anything. If you're going to have a relationship with anybody, being able to have a yeast infectious discussion is actually a pretty good barrier if you can have real discussions. Because if you can have a yeast infection discussion, then you can figure out a way to have any kind of discussion. Because it's an uncomfortable yet relatively meaningless discussion, right? It's just a yeast infection. It is what it is. She takes her things, and in a week she's fine, right? She takes her pills, and in a week everything's fine. It's no big deal, and it's no big deal. but it's an uncomfortable conversation to have because it's about a personal area. So your relationship, if you can have this kind of conversation now, you're building, you know, habits and skills for more difficult conversations later. So just have the conversation. Just be prepared to educate him because he's not going to know what the hell a yeast infection is. Until you've had to go through it, you don't know what it is. All right? Women get educated about these. Men don't. They at least tell you about these things. Women, they don't tell men about nothing. They just say, put a condom on so you don't get an STD. That's it. That's all we're ever told. Trust me, I read 5 boys. No one tells him about yeast infections. I didn't think to tell them about yeast infections. It's not something we think about to tell boys. So we don't know. Mm-hmm. So guess who has to educate them? Their first partner. Sucks to be you, but it does. It sucks to be you. It sucks to be that first partner who has to educate these ignorant. And it's just ignorance, right? It's not like deliberate or anything. It's just no one's told them. So how are you supposed to know? Right? You don't know unless someone tells you. Okay, what's next or last? We got one
last
more.
Last question. Do people talk about sex and not get turned on? Okay, backstory. Uh-huh. At work, they get personal sometimes. Uh-huh. And he finally just kind of dawned on him, you know, hey, I don't want to do this. If these people are getting turned on. Are they getting turned on?
At work, no. It's just killing time. You could be talking about the weather and you're going to have the same reaction. It's just more interesting conversation than the weather. That's all. No. No. As generally being able to have a discussion about sex and not getting turned on by that discussion, that happens about 24, 25 years old. All right. So anybody who's asking this question, you know, they're young. Because they can't separate the conversation from the reality, from the act. They're just too young to have, don't have enough experience to how to separate it. But yeah. Full-fledged adults, you know, people who've been around the block a few times. Those are easy. You know, it's like you can go to a comedian and they can have a conversation about sex and laugh about, but does the audience get turned on? God, I hope not. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the comedians talk about sex all the time. And the audience doesn't get turned on. So yes, people talk about sex all the time without getting turned on. It's you can you know, people talk about sex all the time to try to turn on their partner. And yeah, that it also does happen, but that's a different thing.
God, that's annoying.
It's a different thing.
Then you're gonna have to do better than that. Talk about sex and bring it up all the time and suggest and we're in that. Does that make us want you?
Well, you forget when that habit starts. The habit starts when they're teenagers and that kind of shit works. That's what all it takes as a teenager, right? And until you know, get past the part where that's no longer a functional strategy in your mid-20s, then it's again, just experience. They're just doing what works. And because that worked in the teenage years, you know, 17, 19.
Yeah, I'll never forget one of my girls did a job on a young man who wouldn't leave her alone, kept bugging her about it. She thought if she did it once, he'd leave her alone.
Well, that's dumb.
It didn't work out that way.
Yeah. That's sending the wrong message, isn't it? But
well, she was young
and
she was a teenager herself, you know. They were the same age.
Teenagers are dumb. That's
yeah.
Yeah. And teenagers are dumb and act more on instinct than you know, they don't think these things through. Or if they do think these things through, well, they think things through, but they don't have enough information to think these things through. So that's reality. You don't have enough experience. to have enough information to properly think these things all the way through. All right. Well, we are out of time. We want to thank you for joining us. Again, if you want to send us your questions, you can send it to love@latenightlove.us. And you can go to, our website. No, our website is fine. That one's, we haven't changed yet. latenightlove.us. And you can send us a contact form there. And from me and Lovey, we want to thank you for joining us. And we will see you next. Do we have anything on tap for next weekend?
Kwanzaa
next week. Well, that should be interesting because I know nothing. I know less about Kwanzaa than I do Hanukkah. So
I do. Me too.
So
we're going to delve into this and we're going to all learn together.
So we're going to learn something about Kwanzaa next week. So
yeah,
stop by. And from that, for me and Lovey, have a good night. And please remember to love everybody.
Good night.